Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
It's a dark, ominous night, but you've walked through this cemetery 100 times. You hardly blink when the wind moans your name. It's comforting, really, the familiarity of this graveyard at night. There's the grave where they buried that serial killer who swore vengeance on you after you revealed his dastardly plan to the police, and, oh, just over there, there's the cursed burial ground that brought all those pets back to life, and just behind you, the shuffling footsteps that follow just a fraction of a second behind your own. Same as always, nothing to worry about. And then a pain in your neck, a bite, you turn, but whatever it was is already gone. Oh well, next time you'll bring some citronella, you think, and then you're home before you know it. The night passes fitfully, you're too hot and too cold at the same time, your dreams are strange and haunting, you wake with a hunger, no, more than a hunger, a craving. You eat until your kitchen's bare, but nothing satiates you. The day passes, then a week, the craving never does, it only gets worse. There's no more denying it, you know what you are now, and you know what you crave, not food. Not blood, not even that ice cream you bought for a rainy day. The only thing that can satisfy you now is the gargle. Hey. Welcome to the gargle. This is the gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to the Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world, all of the news, none of the politics. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Alison Spittle.
Pew, 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 pew.
Welcome. That was oddly perfunctory.
Do you think so? Do you think my heart wasn't in it? Do you think?
Yeah.
Wait, I'll do it again. Pew, 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 pew. No, well, no. What's wrong?
That's almost sarcastic.
Wait, my finger guns are sarcastic. This is terrible. I need to bring the heart back into it. Now I feel performance anxiety. Okay. Pew, 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 pew.
Perfect.
I just went for a higher tone. That's okay.
Yay. Yeah. And James Colley.
Whammy, wham, wham, yeah. Oh, just, it doesn't. I'll get it next time.
Before we click our knitting needles together and begin the elaborate crochet that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover. The front cover of this week's magazine is Meghan Markle photoshopping herself back into the news cycle. And the satirical cartoon this week is a comedian who's just woken up from a long sleep trying to think of something original to say about the Kate Middleton conspiracy theory bonanza. My running theory is that she's disappeared because she had surgery to send her back in time to teach the ancient Egyptians how to create pyramids in Photoshop.
Wow.
That's my running theory. Have you got a theory, James?
I don't think she ever existed. I think this was just like a bit we were all doing and kind of leaning into. And then you know how like, it's like when you start saying something ironically and then all of a sudden you're saying to your boss, you go, girlfriend. Like it's one of those situations that we're all like, yeah, William's dating this woman. And then we all just started to believe and we kind of Mandela affected our way into thinking there was a Princess Kate. But, you know, I've read Spare and she is barely mentioned. So I don't think she's
Well, that brings us to our top story this week. This is the exciting news that there is no equality for working women in any country in the world.
We did it! Yep,
we are.
Lads.
100% for 100%. The global gender gap is way bigger than previously thought. That's what she said. Which we've realised because the annual World Bank report has taken into consideration in calculating women's wages, childcare and safety issues for the first time. You know, safety issues being, Alison Spittle, I'm sure you're aware, the taxi you take home from the gig that eats up all of the money you were paid at the gig instead of being able to, like a man, go home through the medium, I assume, of fist fighting your way home. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's it. It's, every trip home after a gig is basically John Wick to me.
Alison Spittle, you're a woman. Can you unpack this story for us?
So, yeah, this is a...
Alice. Well.
That's amazing. What I love about this is the headline is No Equality for Working Women, which is my least favourite Coen Brothers film, this is a report that's basically telling us kind of what we knew, that if you took into account not only, the pay gap, but also the amount of... housework a woman is required to do or how much danger she's in generally that we're not equal to men in those regards, and like they've even looked at like different countries, like Togo apparently has the highest number of laws in sub-Saharan Africa giving women 77% of the legal rights of men, and I'm like wow. The structure,
don't worry about the other 23.
But
just window dressing.
Absolutely. But the structures in place means that only actually they're able to implement a quarter of them. So it's kind of like this is a really good study because it's telling us what we know, giving us actual numbers on it. It's good. Isn't it good just to read something and go, I knew that. You know what I mean?
I knew that, and now I have numbers to back it up. That's what I call girl math.
Exactly. My gut feeling now has numbers on it. It's like, bang.
James?
I definitely should talk about this. I wanted to like try and understand this from the other side, and so I tried to get into the mindset of a sexist reading this and understanding this information. I really just spread out, let myself enjoy the article, and now I get to explain it to the both of you, even though you've both clearly demonstrated that you not only read it but actually sent it to me. So what my real takeaway with this was closing this gap would increase gross domestic product by 20%, which really shocked me as a working sexist, because I would have thought that the gross domestic product would be higher now on account of how women stay home and love shopping, which makes everything a domestic product. And then they call me gross because I make jokes like that.
Amazing.
I've done my part to bring this back under wraps in that I am the least successful person in my own household. I am much less successful than my own wife. My 2-year-old daughter has been on magazine covers and on television. My dog has been on Australian Breakfast TV and the Australian late night news show The Project, two places that have never invited me on in about 15 years of working in this industry. So what I'm saying is, you know, everyone else catch up, because I'm really letting the team down for us all.
Oh, wow. You're getting fame cooked by your dog. That's to put it into that.
And the dog is technically male, but I did have his testicles removed, so it feels like a half point maybe.
Holy shit, that's amazing. But like, what do you see any advantages to being a man? Like, what are the? I'd love to ask.
I can't see any. Let me go over it. Advantages to being a man: you can park wherever you want. That's true, right? I can park wherever I want.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They have those little pictures of the man in a comfortable chair.
that's called diplomatic immunity.
Other than that, seems pretty even to me, I've got to say. Haven't noticed anything.
I have been thinking about like the differences between men and women, because I'm a comedian and that's okay. Like 80% of what I think about. And what I love about men is that sometimes they get angry at you if you're scared of them. Do you know what I mean? Like once I was walking down the street and a man was on his bike and he goes, "Hey," and I just kind of looked at him. I was like, "Okay, cool, I'm going to keep walking." And then he got his bike and he put it in front of me and kind of blocked me in so I couldn't walk any further. And there's a weird thing of like, you don't know whether you'll have fight or flight when presented with danger. But I've come to realize that I don't have fight or flight. What I have is I just keep walking on the spot like an NPC character in a computer game. And I'm like shrugging and going, "Hey, I'm walking. Like, what's going on?" And eventually that didn't work. So I just said to the guy, "Look, I'm just trying to get home." And he was so taken aback because he heard fear in my voice. And he was like, "Hey, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm a DJ." And I thought, well, that checks out. That's fine. Because as we know, all DJs have to take a vow before they do their job.
I'm too busy ruining my own life to ruin yours.
Exactly, exactly. First, do no harm. Second, party. Like, that's it.
There's one profession that has never created a sex pest. It's got to be DJs.
Yeah, I want to see a report on that. I want to see.
I mean, basically, the news story here is that the bit of it that is meant to be news, which is that women across the world are not being treated with equality, is not news. And therefore, the bit of it that is news, which is that now we have numbers to support that fact, is actually good news. So, good news story delivered to the people successfully from the Gargle.
Woo! Because you know there's one thing that sexists will listen to, and that's statistical evidence.
I thought you were going to say a podcast hosted by a woman.
Yeah.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. We really do need to sell t-shirts that say that, Ped. Wouldn't you feel better about eating your food if you knew it was a criminal? Wouldn't you feel safer if it had prison guards? Wouldn't it be easier to eat if those prison guards were square and made of bread? Sandwiches. Imprison your food.
I thought you were going to be like, "I'll only eat meat, but if the animal is a criminal," so then you're like serving justice as well as a roast chicken.
Do you dream of a simpler time? A time before electricity? A time before noisy appliances? Are you unwilling to give up modern convenience? Yes? Then you need Anteaters. Anteaters. Nature's vacuum cleaner. Terms and conditions apply. The terms and conditions are that the dirt that you're trying to vacuum up is ants. Salt makes everything taste better, and your only cost is higher blood pressure. Don't you wish there was something like that for the rest of your life? Something to make roller coasters more fun, horror movies less boring, something to give you a reason to avoid ghosts. Now there is. Fear. Fear. Salt for your experiences.
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm going to think about that next time. Feel the salt and do it anyway.
Are you worried about rising sea levels? Go stand by the sea and scoop out half a glass of ocean water. Half a glass of water. Look, it's not making much of a difference, but it's technically an improvement.
Can I ask, is ocean water normal water, but you just add fear?
That's great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pornhub news now, and this is the news that Texas is banning Pornhub. Or is it? James Colley, you've been to Texas. Can you unpack this story for us?
I was really worried where that was going. I'm glad that both of the stories so far have just lent into our expertise. Alice, here's the wage gap. James? Yeah, hot singles in your area. How are you feeling about it? This is Pornhub withdrawing from Texas in a form of protest. So this report begins with a line that could open a tragic American novel, which is, Texans in search of adult content found disappointment Thursday. Texans are dangerously horny, and if you've seen Yosemite Sam, it could go very, very badly indeed.
Disappointment Thursday is my stripper name.
It comes just before my Girl Friday. So the argument here seems to be, on face value, let's start here. On face value, the argument here is that age verification laws stifle First Amendment rights. And I want to be clear here. Had the founding fathers of the United States of America ever conceived of the possibility that one day you could have a magical square in your pocket in which you could type, say, MILFs, and as if men are from heaven, these MILFs would be delivered directly to you, I think Thomas Jefferson's head would have literally exploded. It would have been like giving a Dorito chip to a Victorian child. Like, the immune system cannot handle such a thing. Benjamin Franklin would have been fine. He would have considered it Tuesday or Disappointment Thursday. But if the founding fathers had known the ability, this wouldn't be an amendment. This would be it would be like, we the people, aware that there are hot singles in our area, find these truths to be just gushing. But being Texas, of course, this is actually being used for horrible reasons. So what is supposed to be an age verification law to protect the children is actually about removing like sexual health awareness material and queer literature, because, you know, Texas can't even make porn fun. But Pornhub has pulled its material in protest of these laws, which is very interesting, because they make the argument, and I agree with them, which is, these things don't work even for the thing that you're trying to keep them from. I have been on the internet for a long time. All that age verification laws ever did for me was teach me how to subtract 18 from a number. That is all it ever kept me from. And so now we're in this standoff between Pornhub and Texas, which is whether we can make the populace so unbearably horny that they effect legal change, which is interesting for a place that says, don't tread on me, because it kind of adds the addendum, or I might just come. Sorry for the edit. Sorry.
Keep it in.
That's also banned. You're not allowed to say that until Pornhub's back.
Look, this sort of Lysistrata attitude to affecting political change is probably the best bet we've got. But in 2022, Pornhub released its most searched terms, and I think for Texas, the most searched term on Pornhub for Texans was panties, which I think you should be banned from porn if you're searching panties. Like, panties, for me, I find panties such a distasteful word. It's so repugnant to me that it's the moist of moist panties for me. Like, of those two words, panties offends me more than moist. You know what I mean?
I just kind of think you really need to mess up as a state if you are like, there's a lawsuit against them where Fake Taxi and the Bang Brothers are combining with Pornhub, and I'm like, if you're getting sued by a company called bangbrothers.com, like, you've messed up in life. Do you know what I mean?
And I mean, ironically, the Fake Taxi is a real taxi and the Bang Brothers are fake brothers. So, you know, can we believe anything we see in porn?
This sounds like a brat. It's not like, this definitely makes, I've never watched Fake Taxi, right? But it's so in the ether that I know, like, There's a part of me that wants to watch Fake Taxi to see if the people actually get dropped off at destinations. Like, is there... Do you know what I mean? Like, do you get to see them getting picked up and get banged and then be dropped off to do their shopping? Or what happens? I'm afraid to go, James, have you seen it? Like, what's it like?
I'm more of a fake Uber kind of guy.
Well, you like the free market, James. You don't like...
I'm just into disruption. That's just my thing.
Yeah. I like my porn ununionized. That's what I like.
I like to move fast and break things.
Yeah, I like to break unions. I like to...
Look, I don't know. I'm not a prude, but I do think porn has a bad impact on people. And I believe that because I used to live in a flat directly downstairs from two people who had the most pornographic sounding sex. And it sounded like neither of them was enjoying themselves at all.
Sounded like a one-sided tennis match or something, or what was it like?
It's just just deeply insincere, like, give it to me, big boy, and you just like, oh.
I have actually seen a fascination with pornography directly impact negatively a friend's life, and it was a friend from high school, and what happened was he really thought getting a job as a Domino's pizza delivery boy would be a sexy adventure.
No. Oh my God, that's wonderful. Oh my God.
And now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring something to review out of 5 stars. James, what have you brought in for us this week?
So I tried out adult learning. So I've taken part in adult learning. Here's what I've learned. School is a punishment that children deserve. Not me. I don't deserve this punishment. I'm not built to be a mature age student for 2 reasons. One, I know how to operate Zoom, which seems to disqualify me from the position. Two, I've actually quite kept up my academic rigor from my original university days, by which I mean I don't care if I fail. I don't show up to classes that often, which is weird because I specifically volunteered for and paid for the classes and then went, you know what? No. So I don't understand what I'm doing. I probably know less than I did when I started. Adult education, 2 stars.
2 stars. Holy shit.
James Colley putting the academic rigor into academic rigor mortis. Alison, what have you brought in to review?
So I'm reviewing being a Domino's delivery driver. So the perks: flexible working hours, quality training, competitive pay, family fun days, and there's award evenings as well. But to be honest with you, there are some downsides, such as a lack of hungry yet cash poor women that answer the door.
Occasionally that does turn up in the family fun day, if I'm honest.
So I'm gonna give it 2 stars. I do have a relative that used to work at Domino's, and they made they would turn it into Willy Wonka's kind of pizza factory, and they made crazy creations. I mean, that's the coolest thing about working at any fast food place, is the world is your oyster when it comes to fried foods. Do you know? You genuinely. And once I was in a Domino's and I won't say the town, but they were really good, fun people working behind the counter, and this guy came in absolutely stinking of weed. It tickled the back of my nose. That's how much of a stank this was.
The manager.
And the guy... Yeah, not the manager, no! Yeah. What the head of Mr. Domino himself. Mr. Domino. The guy behind the counter was like, oh, you want a Herbie pizza? And everyone just laughed. And it was great. So, yeah, but I'm giving it... I'm going to give it 2 stars. 2 stars. They have a pension scheme, but no
you have reminded me, you've opened a core memory of my first job working at McDonald's, where there were 2 rushes late at night, both hit about the same time or about half an hour apart. There was the church rush and there was the weed rush. And if the church sermon went about half an hour late, you would get those two to combine. And it was two groups equally terrified of each other,
yes,
forced to intermingle in a McDonald's. One of the greatest things you can ever see in your life.
That's beautiful.
And that brings us to nap time news now, very relevant to my life. This is the news that two pilots have been reprimanded for falling asleep mid-flight. If you weren't scared of flying before, you should be now. Alison Spittle, you're up in the air. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, so this is basically, like, I read this story. It's about two pilots, right? They're both tired little bears, and they are in charge of a massive machine flying through the air, and basically I didn't notice that you're like there's the pilot and then the co-pilot, and you can allow your teammate to have a nap. But what happened was a teammate was having an official nap. I think it was like the co-pilot. But then the pilot fell asleep himself. And it just kept flying in the air. And air traffic control tried to get in contact with them for about half an hour. Then one of them woke up and made contact. And they've both, unsurprisingly, both been suspended. Yeah, this happened in Indonesia. So, like, I looked up this story, and then I was like trying to, like, it doesn't sound like I do this, but I was writing jokes before I came here. And this is my joke, but I'm more interested in this. Talk about falling asleep at the yoke, because the yoke is a steering wheel of an airplane. Didn't know that before. I had to look up what a steering wheel of an airplane is, which I mean, it doesn't really have a steering wheel either, but they're like, it's called the yoke. And in Ireland, we call anything that we don't know the name of a yoke. And to know that the steering wheel of an airplane is called the yoke makes me feel like not that safe flying. Like, if somebody said, look, just take a hold of the yoke over there, that could be anything to me. That could be like someone's head. You know, it's a mad story. They've been suspended and they're trying to, like, with all companies where they talk about safety, like one of the pilots is like had 36 hours of rest, but that included visiting family and stuff like that.
One of them is the father of month-old twins, and had just moved house. And I feel like the core issue here is sexism, because if you were given paternity leave of a reasonable amount paid by the company, then you wouldn't have a pilot falling asleep at the yoke.
I actually, as soon as I read that the secondary pilot has month-old twins, I went, oh, not guilty. Fine, whatever. You do what you need to, my guy. That's what happens sometimes. And you know what? Let this be a lesson to any babies crying on the plane. You need to, this is what happens. This is what happens when you keep your dear, hardworking parents up. I found this story a bit harrowing, if I'm honest, for one specific reason, which is that both of these pilots are younger than me, and I didn't know that could happen. I know pilots are older than me. They're not younger than that. I don't care for that. Like, if the plane had like a big P plate on the back of it, maybe that's okay. Like, they're learning, it's their first time on a plane. But I don't want a pilot to ever call me dude. I need a pilot to be older.
Oh, James, you think young people call you dude?
Yeah, they always say, look at that lame dude.
Oh my God.
And that brings us to our final story. This is the news that parents are apparently miffed after discovering that a teacher in Canada was selling their children's art online. This tragic news is just breaking my heart. James Colley, you have a children whom I assume you're going to try and exploit for money. Can you unpack this story for us?
So this is a story about an art teacher. Like, so parents wanting to look up what art the art teacher had made and then finding an online store where they were flogging their kids' artworks on this online store, which is officially funny. It's so good. It's such a funny grift to be pulling. Also, honestly, bit of a compliment. Most of this stuff is barely fridge worthy. That you put in the right frame and it's contemporary genius. Like, I looked at these pictures, and they're not just pictures. They're pictures. They're pictures on mugs. They're pictures on phone cases. I think the chances that this teacher sold any are pretty low because, and I hate to say this, they're bad mugs. It's bad art. I'm sorry, your kids are untalented. You should be grateful that one teacher believed in them enough to try to exploit them. Just doesn't have it. Get them back into the coal mines where they can add some value to society.
As a parent of a child, I don't understand the economics of this, supply and demand wise. There is so much production of this shit and there's nowhere to keep it. I have to do like a sneaky nighttime tooth fairy routine where I like get rid of all of the beautiful art my child has made, lest we drown in a sea of incredibly well created. She's going to listen to this at some point.
I'll say it for you, because I don't have kids, and I probably won't. I hate kids' art so much, even the children that I love. Like, their art is shit to me. Anyway, go on, Alice. You didn't say anything.
No, it's not shit to you. It is objectively shit, because they don't know how to do anything yet. They can barely use their hands. They're trying to figure out the coordination. It's a beautiful journey towards artistic merit, but there is no child who is at the end of that journey.
It's like when a zoo puts, like, a paintbrush in an elephant's trunk, and you're like, That's a fun way to spend a Tuesday, but let's be honest about what we're doing here. We're pissing about. You're wasting your time, my time, and an elephant's time here.
I don't. It's like preteen art, isn't it? It's kind of like these kids are like older children. Preteens, they love drawing up like crushed cans of Coke. That's what I always did when I was like in art class in secondary school, was draw either a pencil sharpener, you know, for life drawing, or a crushed up can of Coke, because those were the only two possessions that I had. And I think this art teacher could learn from stand-up comedians who are also moonlighting as teachers. There is a lot of them in our industry. Just why didn't he change his name for his art? Because kids Google their teachers. I Googled my teacher, found out that he did shoplifting. He didn't, you know, he did not have a good time for about a year. Because we were like teasing him, you know. Children find out, children Google their teacher straight away and they find out everything. He should have come up with a moniker or something like that. He's a fool.
That's why I've got Disappointment Thursdays.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Banksy, he's a secondary school teacher. He's not doing it to to be cool or anything like that. He's saving his job.
The drawings were bad, but the urinal that he stole to put up in the gallery was outrageous.
That's school property. It's a disgrace.
My claim to artistic fame is that someone once told me when I was a kid that hands were the hardest thing to draw. And so I decided I was going to practice, and the only hand I had to hand was my left hand because I draw with my right hand. So I have about 400 different pictures of increasing quality of my own left hand, and at some point I'm going to do an exhibition. It's across like 15 years of like, well, I'm just going to get this one thing right and then I'll be a good artist. Turns out if you can draw your own left hand, you cannot draw anything else. And that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ads at the back. Alison, have you got anything to plug?
Oh, babes, do I have stuff to plug. I'm in the middle of doing my tour of Soup. I'm going to be in Soho today, Friday, and Saturday. And then this Sunday, I'm going to be in Oxford in the old fire station. Then I'm going to be in Luton at the end of the month. And then next month, Glasgow, Edinburgh, and a place called Pocklington, which I'm excited about, and Leicester. So please come along. It'll be good fun. And that's it, really.
If you're in or near any of those places, please go see Alison Spittle. James, what have you got to plug?
Well, depending on what stays in this show, I'm not sure if I'll have any upcoming performances, but you can certainly check out, I have my book is out. I'm holding up the camera for you YouTube friends here. It's called The Next Big Thing. It's a little rom-com. If you are in Australia, you can pick it up at all good bookstores. If you are overseas, I mean, you know how the internet works. What, you're going to let a little tyranny of distance stop you? Or... if you can't pick it up, just go on Goodreads, tell them you read it, tell them it was 5 stars, just rig the vote for me a little bit. That would be good, but we'll take that.
Oh, wait, I want to change my review. I read James's book, 5 stars, amazing.
And I'm Alice Fraser. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. I'm back running my weekly writers' meetings, which are a lot of fun if you're working on something or want to be working on something or trying to expand your creative abilities. Patreon.com/AliceFraser. We also do weekly just chats in my salons and occasional book clubs where we talk about things. That's all available there, as well as all of my stand-up specials, podcasts and blogs, patreon.com. Alice Fraser, I don't normally plug it this hard, but now I have 2 children. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.